Okay. Good. Sorry about that.
Hi, Rabbi.
Nice to see you as well. The welcome to the ever depressing topic of Holocaust responsa. We've been doing this for a few years now, not necessarily last year. It was a year off last year. And it's interesting. I have to work a little bit on this. I've been asked to give a graduate school course in the topic of Holocaust responsa, which it would be made up totally of the classes I had given in Eidos. And interesting. The first topic I wanted to talk about is I'm going to start a little bit out of left field. I want to put a little English on the source sheet for those who didn't take source sheets. It looks like, oh, did they? So the if people remember, the most, to this day, the most watched episode of any television series was the last episode in MASH. And the final episode of MASH, it was, I'm sure people are familiar with MASH here, that was eventually Hawkeye has a breakdown, and the show goes through him with his therapist reconstructing what happened. And we put here on the basic rundown for you that he's blocking out certain thoughts. And what had happened was, it was the end of the war. They were leaving. They were hiding from the North Koreans. And there was a baby, and the mother ends up smothering the baby, because if the baby would have made the noise, he would have been captured by the North Koreans. This episode came out in 1983. There was absolutely nothing original that came out of it, because unfortunately we have records of this happening earlier. In the Sefer Migeha HaRega, just a little bit background, this was a Sefer, again, people all know that this should be Mamakim, the work of Rav Oshri on the Holocaust, but it's just one of several tshuvas that Sfarim that came out of it. For whatever reason, the Mimar Makim was the most popular one. It won the National Jewish Book Award. It was translated, at least one of the volumes, into English, etc. But many other people who unfortunately went through the Holocaust and were rabbinic figures who were approached with issues also wrote up their tshuvas. One of them was Rav Shimon Efrati. Rav Efrati was left after the war. He moved to Israel. Eventually, he ended up being in charge of kashrus for the Rabbanut. That's what he ended up doing for a living. What?
The Shemitah guy. That's here.
What was his name before it was Efrati?
It was always Efrati, as far as
really?
I know. Yes.
In Europe, his name was
Efrati? I believe so. Oddly enough, you know, and he was deep Europe. This wasn't one of those, you know, Steinberg becomes Harari.
And he's not a Sephardi?
No. He was a Hasidic Shiid. Interesting enough, I think the Rav Efrati who's in charge of Shemitah is alive. This Rav Efrati, not as much. So his very first tshuva is about a case like this. And he writes, this is a question, just hearing the question will make your hair stand up on ends. There was a whole bunch of Jews that were hiding in a bunker. They were hiding from the Nazis. That's the long and the short of it. They would have killed them all if they would have been caught. As they were coming close to search for them, a young child began to cry, a baby. There was no way of quieting down this child. The child, of course, did not understand. And if the Nazis would have heard the child, they would have all been caught and killed. Can you smother the child, right, with the idea being that there's a possibility that the child will die from this? One person just went and did it. shall also tinok v'nei achrei she'avru harishayim ha'arurim nog tu rahasi as a karvo l'tohamosam she'yelad nechnak. Eventually the Nazis left, they remove it, and unfortunately the child suffocated. Hashela hi eifo im haya mutter rosim es hakar b'chdei rahatzil shar ha'anoshim o ein heter v'zeh she'adam she'osa zos ki im ki shkaga alav l'kabar aratzma tshuva she'chupa lo cheto. The question was, did he make the right decision or not? Now again, he did not mean to kill the child. He only meant to try to quiet the child. But there was this risk that it would happen. And in fact, that is what happened. Unfortunately, the child passed away. What? I'm doing audio. So, I don't know. Why don't you just put it on to you? Someone's trying to get in. If not, then we'll just go with audio.
Did we not argue that this child was a rebbe?
So that's what we're here to discuss. We're here to discuss, was this the right decision? Was it? So again, the first opinion, after we'll start with Yitzhak, is that this child is a rodef. Basically, this child is, in the concept of rodef is that if somebody is running after someone to kill them, obviously you have the right, if not the obligation, to kill the pursuer.
That's so.
Right, so the second point, but why not?
Because the child is not even conscious of what's... The child's just frightened. It's not pursuing anything.
So your argument is that, well, in order to be a pursuer, right, you have to be...
Conscious.
But that isn't right, the case of a baby who's classified as a rodef, who is still in the womb, and yet who's pregnant. If the pregnancy is not terminated, it will be, in fact...
Jeff raises a response to you, and Jeff says, well, wait a second. We know that, obviously, it's a hot topic nowadays, the question of abortion. What is the Jewish approach of abortion? There are situations where halacha allows abortion, and notably, the Gemara tells us that if you have a woman who is having a very difficult labor, to the extent... where she could potentially die from it. So, in fact, we allow an abortion in that case. Why? So one of the opinions is because that child is a rodef. That child is killing the mother. So just like if the child was running after the mother with a knife, we would be allowed, maybe even obligated, to kill the child. So too in this case, where the child is causing potentially the death of the mother, and I assume Jeff is telling us that that child, of course, doesn't have any evil intentions, isn't aware of what he or in our family she is doing, right? That's just the way it is. So, you know, so doesn't that indicate, Jeff is saying, that the fact that the child means no harm doesn't really make a difference?
Look,
are
you talking just about a child or are you...
We're talking, in this case, we're talking about a baby who you can't explain to the baby. You've got to be quiet
right.
Now.
Right. They're just frightened and they have no control on their...
Right.
They're whimpering.
So we will be discussing this among other angles to consider what is going on here. We start with a case in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi talks about the case of people that are traveling along the way and they are attacked. And the attack, and this is a group of Jews, and the attackers who are non-Jews say, either you give over a person to us, or we will kill you all. So, right, there's 10 of you. Either you give over a person, or we're going to kill all 10 of you. So what would you assume the Gemara would say in that case?
It's happened a lot in history, hasn't it? Something happened.
Only if they specify which one they want.
Right, so what if they do specify which one they want?
Give them that one.
That's not clear at all.
Well,
so again,
remembering is the situation where they're in the city, a walled city, and they're after somebody. I don't remember the story, but the bottom line was they named this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was a similar threat. If you don't turn this guy over, that will take you all down. And they end up turning over the one.
So the question is, let's first look at the sources here, and then let's discuss it. So the Gemara, in the uses of Yerushalmi, We'll see there are different versions of this. We'll look at two of them. The Yerushalmi tells us, Tani siyos b'nei adam shayu mahalchim baderech upogu lehem goyim. Right, that's what he said. V'amru tnu lanu echad mikem v'narag oso, v'imlav hare anu hargin es kulchem. Send over one guy, any guy you want. Yeah, pick however you want. This is the guy you know who hasn't paid his dues recently. We just have a need to kill one Jew. Pick a Jew, any Jew, and you know we'll let the rest of you go. We don't want to kill all of you. Just give us one of them. And if you're not going to be cooperative, then we're going to have to kill you all. Afilu kulam ne'rogim lo yimsu nefesh achas me'Yisrael. So Yerushalmi says, even if it means we're all going to die, we don't give over a fellow Jew. However, yichdu lehem echad could go Sheva ben Bichri. If they say, we want that guy.
Right.
Like the case of Sheva ben Bichri. What's the case of Sheva ben Bichri? So after David HaMelech put up with the rebellion of his son Avshalom, so right afterwards, there is another rebellion of a guy, Sheva ben Bichri. And at this point, no one's got any patience. No one's got any patience for a rebellion. So he gets chased down by David's general, by Yoav, and he's in a walled city. He's in a tower. And basically, he said they say, okay, we're going to kill everybody. And there's a negotiation between an unnamed wise woman, right? The Medrash tells us that Sarach bas Asher. This, and she says, what are you doing? Why? So he says, she says, okay, if that's the case, you got it. Just wait here a minute. She comes a few minutes later, over the wall comes the head of Sheva ben Bichri. And they say, thank you very much, we'll be moving on now. So their first opinion says, okay, that if they say, just give us a random person, we're not going to pick. But if you tell me you want this guy, Sheva ben Bichri, then that would be okay.
There's another thing, though. Yeah. In the case of Sheva ben Bichri, he was in rebellion.
Oh, let's hold off there. It's a very good point. So, below Yaragu, Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, v'hu she'echayiv misa k'sheva ben Bichri. So he says, what Jeff just said, this guy Sheva ben Bichri rebelled against Malchus Beis David. He had it coming to him. So why are we all going to die for a guy who deserves to die? However, what's the implication of Reish Lakish here? What if they randomly ask for a person? And that person, there's no reason why that person should die. What do we do then? They walk in, they said, we want this guy. Why do you want to kill him? No reason in particular. Right? This guy, you know, I don't like the way he mows his lawn. I want to kill him. So what would Reish Lakish say? Do we give him over or we all die for him?
We don't give him over.
I don't think you do.
Right? It would sound that you know, Rav Yochanan...
Reish Lakish would know what he's talking about in these cases.
Right. Right? So Rav Yochanan... Omar afal bishenu chay misa k'sheva ben Bichri. We have a machlokus here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now let's consider Reish Lakish's opinion for a moment. They walk in, and this guy, it's totally not his fault, but they want to kill him. And they say, give him over, or we're going to kill you all. Take a step back here to what we were talking about 2 minutes ago. Is this guy a rodef?
No. He is now. He wasn't until he was named. But once he's named,
but he's not. It's no action of his. Even the baby, unconsciously, or at least not purposely, is engaging in an action which endangers. This is not the case with random guy.
Right. So you're saying, but you agree?
No. Once he's been specified, he's the rabbi.
Right? So, because, again, what I assume Yitzhak is saying here is, we said that intention has nothing to do with it. It's not a matter of, you know, this is somebody's fault. It's not a matter that they should be blamed. This person is endangering other people, and therefore, that makes that person erodive. It's due to no fault. If it is to, even if it has no fault whatsoever, again, the guy can't have less fault than the baby. Right? And somehow or another, right, he does. Reish Lakish does not see him as a rodef.
Could have less fault than the baby.
What?
The baby's doing something.
Yeah, right. But he let his lawn grow. Whatever it is, he looked at them the wrong way, right? But he at least has mental capacity to understand what he's doing. The baby can't be blamed at all. The baby has no mental capacity whatsoever to appreciate his or her actions.
I understand. But saying, if they say, you know, you,
and has nothing to do with him having done anything, then they've named somebody, and this person is just not actively doing anything. Again, I understand what my father's saying, but the distinction can be made between the baby and this random person.
So, yeah. So you think this random person is not a Rodev?
No, I think, I understand what my father's saying, but I also think that it's incorrect to say that he's...
I'm not really sure you understand. I don't know if you agree. You can try to duck this all you want, but one of us went to business school and the other went to law school. So you know. So I'm glad you understand that. But do you agree or do you not agree?
Right.
Try to answer the question, please.
Do you think the guy's a
Rodev? No, I think he's a Rodev, but I think there's also a difference between his status as a Rodev and the status of...
So you're saying so you're saying that there is the Rodev, the guy running with the knife, right? We all agree.
That's a Rodev.
Right? Then there is the baby. Who has no control?
But is doing something,
right?
Or God's doing something.
And then you're saying that, and even that you're saying that we're making an assumption that that child's a Rodev, right? Again, but we haven't seen any proof of that. And then there's a third level you're saying, of the person just kind of walked into it.
Well, or should just stop being a Rodev, jump off a bridge? Like, what are the options here?
Well, it sounds like give himself over would be one way.
Step forward and say, okay, you want me? Here's me and leave you at 99 alone.
Now, in the real world, you'd also wonder whether or not they're actually going to keep their word.
If you can't trust a good Nazi, who can you trust?
The other thing is, it sounds like you could make somebody a Rodev. You could name somebody, and therefore you make them the Rodev.
Right. So again, that's the question. So that is source number one. And now, let me just ask one more question before I move on to that. Machlokes Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, who do we follow?
Say the choices again.
Your choice is either Reish Lakish or Rav Yochanan. Well, what was the relationship between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan?
Reish Lakish says he's not a Rodev.
No, again, but what's their personal relationships?
They're brothers-in-law.
They were brothers-in-law, correct. And Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Reish Lakish, and therefore we always follow Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, which is interesting here because this whole discussion we're having within Reish Lakish of isn't the guy a Rodev, but we shouldn't be following Reish Lakish. We should be following Rabbi Yochanan, who says, no matter what, I don't care if the guy deserves it or not, you give him over. Right? So again, the discussion with trying to understand why isn't the guy a Rodev, according to Rav Yochanan, you just say he is. And that's why once they point out that that's the one we want, whether he's like Shavu ben Bichri, whether he's like Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't make a difference, according to that. Well, let's hold on to that for a moment. The Tosefta gives us the same case, but a very different take on it. The Tosefta number 3, the Lieberman edition, sounds very familiar. Yes? Give over one, we're going to kill them. He says, what do you do? Same idea. Don't do it. Aval, im yichdu lehem, kegon she yichdu l'shev ben bichri, yitnu lehem v'al yargu kulam. They pointed out, no matter what, give it over. Right, this opinion sounds very much like the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Right, once he said, "I don't care whether he deserves it or not." Amar Rav Yehuda, b'midvar omrim b'zman shu mibifnim v'heim mibuchutz. Aval b'zman shu b'mifnim v'heim mibifnim hola b'hu na'arog v'heim na'arogim yidu lahem v'ayagu kulam. Rabbi Yehuda has a little twist here. He says, if they say we want that guy, you give over the guy, assuming you're all going to die for real. He said, there's two possibilities. One possibility is we're inside and they're outside. And they say, give us the guy or we're coming in. In that case, there's a possibility that we'll be able to defend ourselves. However, if they already are in here and they said, okay, give them over then, if that's the case, he's going to die anyhow with the rest. So why should we all go down together? So this is a very, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were discussing whether he deserves it or not, Rabbi Yehuda is taking a very different approach. It's the approach of, well, does this guy have any chance of survival? And he says, in fact, you see it from the case of Sheva and Bichri. What was her argument she made to get them to give over Sheva and Bichri? Well, this was the argument. Her argument was that, in fact, listen, he's dead no matter what. What do you gain by going down with him? That's Rav Yehuda's. Rav Shimon disagrees, and that's not what she said at all. Rav Shimon Omer Kachomer, she says, oh, she didn't make a logical argument that it doesn't matter if he's a good guy. She said, he's a bad guy, therefore he should go. With that background, let's look at the Rambam's codifying of the halacha. The Rambam said, "Nashim shomer hem avdei kachovim tenu lanu achas mikem v'nitma osan v'im lav nitma es kol chen yitmu kulam." They say, "Give her a woman for us to rape, or if not, we're going to rape all the women. You don't give anyone over." Right? That's A. V'al yimsulem nefesh achas miyisrael. We don't give people over. V'chein, similarly, im amar lehem avdei kachovim tenu lanu echad mikem v'nahargenu. Similarly, same going, this is the case we've discussed. If you just ask for some, give us one of you, we don't give. Everybody agrees with that, right? Yerushalmi said that way, the Tosefta said that way. But if they say, give us that person, oh Nargis Kulchem, im hayim b'chuyim misa k'sheva ben b'chri yitnu asam lehem. Which opinion does the Rambam follow? He's passing a great shlokish against Rabbi Yochanan. This is a very surprising Rambam, right? The cast of Mishnah, everybody wants to know what's the Rambam doing here. Now the Rambam gets us into trouble because our definition of Rodef was simple under Rav Yochanan, right? In the event that A is causing potentially the death of B, A is a Rodef. And I don't care if they're a nasty person, if they're a wonderful person, they could be Mother Teresa. If they're going to cause the death of somebody else, that's a problem. But that's not the opinion according to Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish seems to be saying that only if the guy deserves it, you give them over. Which is also the opinion of Rav Shimon in the Tosefta. However, the person doesn't deserve it, so therefore we have to rethink about what is a Rodef. Is it that a Rodef is only somebody who brought it upon themselves? Right? Because that would fit in. Sheva ben Bichri, they want to kill him because he did something that he deserves it. He's Chayiv Misa, and therefore, he did something active to make himself into a Rodef. Because he did something active to make himself into a Rodef, that is why we, in fact, are saying, okay, kill him. But it sounds from here that if somebody is not, they're what we call a Rodef Ba'ones. They became a Rodef, but not because of anything they did. According to the Rambam, who's finding the opinion of Reish Lakish, right, which is also the opinion of Rav Shimon, so that person is arguably not a Rodef. That, of course, what? Correct. That is exactly where we are. Right. So according to that, I would be able to say, and therefore the baby is like any other human being. The baby's not doing anything, and therefore you don't have a right to kill this baby. But then, of course, that goes back to the case of Jeffrey. Well, what about the case of abortion, that the child is a Rodef? Now...
But it's an unborn child, so you could argue that there's a distinction.
But I thought after the child's already crowned.
So once the child is crowned, right, in fact, that would seem to be proof the other way.
Right, you can't.
Once the child is crowned, even though it'll potentially cost the mother her life, we don't perform the abortion at 41 weeks. No. Yetzer Rosha, once the head comes out, it's like any other child.
Okay, is it the head out or the crowning? Those are two different places.
Ted? What?
I understand if the head's out, but crowning is different.
So again.
Okay.
Ask
Ted when he shows up.
Right. We'll leave it to Ted. So that's tricky, because if you tell me the child is a rodef, so why should the child stop being a rodef just because? So you see that the child being a rodef is not very clear at all. In fact, when it comes to abortion, that is a major discussion between Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam comes up with this idea of rodef. Rashi's not that so sure about it. So based on that, let's look at Rashi on that Gemara. Rashi, number 5 on our sheets, writes, a woman is having a very difficult childbirth, and she's in danger. So basically, in such a case, the midwife, the Gemara tells us, does a very late stage abortion. Right, so what's the Rashi saying? The Rashi is saying that until the child is born, the child is not yet a nefesh. The child is not yet a full human being, and therefore the mother, who is a full human being, takes precedence over the child who is not yet a human being. Now, of course, that's very important. Again, I don't want to go off on it now, but this is an important part of the discussion of abortion. According to Rashi, abortion is not murder, because it would seem from reading this that the child is not a nefesh. Right? It doesn't mean it's mutter. It doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. But to say that it's actually murder, no. The Rambam might disagree. But according to Rashi, that's the idea, is that Rashi, up until however the cutoff is born. So whatever we're doing is something less than murder, which we'll do to save a person. That's what Rashi is telling us. That's his opinion. Aval Yatzar Rosha, once the head has emerged, a nogim bo lahargo, d'havire ki yolud vein dochen nefesh b'bnei nefesh. At that point, the child is on the same level as the mother, and therefore, Vim Tomar, Maisa the Sheva ben Bichri. So actually, in this discussion of abortion, they raise the issue of Sheva ben Bichri. Wait a second. Why isn't the child a Rodef? Hine Rosha Mushlach Alecha the Dachu Nefesh de Nefesh. They killed Sheva ben Bichri to save the other people in the city. Hos Mesu Imro Masru Oya Nerag Beir Kesheyish. That's a very interesting answer. He says the only reason they were able to kill him is because they were 100% sure that he was going to die. He was going down with everybody else. But there's a possibility that everyone else would die and he would make it. Then Rashi said they wouldn't have been able to give over Sheva ben Bichri. Or because he deserved it. Right?
But by the former reasoning,
right,
if the child, even if the head has emerged, mm-hmm, if the mom dies, the child dies.
Okay.
So then, even if the head has emerged, you should be permitted to.
Is that true?
If the child isn't delivered,
the head's out already.
Right, the rest of it's not coming out. Now what?
No, there is a concept of the woman mother dying in childbirth and the baby still naked.
Right.
So
that happens a lot.
I'm just thinking if there's a
right
paradigm of the first party not being involved. Yeah.
All right.
Based on all this, Rav Efrati goes back to our question. And he says it's very difficult to put these pieces together. And he says, "Midivrei Rashi, atolome shetirat zeechad hanushitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Baruch Hashem, Benkach uBenkach, Yehareg gam im lo timser oso. Bar gaskol bar gaschem lo tuchu lahatzil mutu lebosu lehareg oso. Rashi seems to be telling us that he, at the end of it is that if the guy's going to die one way or the other, simple logic, right? Then there's no reason not to save the other people. If they say we want that guy, that's not enough of a reason to give the person over. Because, okay, we want that guy, but if there's a possibility that that guy will survive and everyone else will die, we still can't give him over. Which we didn't do. He gives us the background. He says they say you want that person. Who says that one life is more important than the other? He said, you put it together, he said, this is what comes out of this. She din rodef la'ones gam kein din rodef alav. Point number one. If A is a rodef to B, even if it wasn't his fault, the person is still a rodef. Ko'od she'en asfar ein docha nefesh ripnei nefesh. As long as you can't say, we don't pick one life over another. Yechatchu oso yamusu gam ha'ein v'gam ha'bein. That's like Yitzchak said. Right? In the case there, where if you don't stop the child, meaning that while the child is still in, so if the mother dies, particularly back in the times of the Gemara, the mother dies, the baby's not going to make it. Right. So in that case, the child is A. An ones, not the child's fault.
Not the child's what?
Fault. Right? And the child's going to go down with the mother. That's the reason why we kill the child. Done. So let's take it back to the case of the bunker. Says, what's going on? If the baby cries, everyone's going to die. So he said, so in this case, where the child, yes, the child's not to blame, but on the other hand, you're not saving the child, then you would be allowed to smother the child. Now, I wonder, what if they were caught? Well, would they kill them on the spot, or would they take them to the camps? Yeah, it probably depends on the case. But if they would take them to the camps...
There's a possibility.
The baby would
get... Right, so I think that Jenny is absolutely right. That in the case of a baby, the baby wasn't going to the camps. The baby would have been killed. Right, everybody right. else, maybe yes, maybe no. Right, but the baby probably would have had the least chance of surviving in everybody else. He said, "Ein advarim amurim ela berodef ritzono mashen kemeni adonshu shezer rodef laonso ein kam mitzvah bedafka lahargo." Now, I mentioned earlier on that when it comes to the case of a rodef, if a person's running after another person with a knife, right? Not only are you allowed to, I'm a third party. Right? Now, it's not self-defense for me. But again, it is a mitzvah for me to save the life of this person who's being pursued. So Rav Efrati says that rule, that it's a mitzvah, that's only if the person's doing it purposely. Right? If I walk in and somebody is having a deleterious effect on somebody else, there's no mitzvah for me to pick one over the other as a third party. Elo reshus v'nidav kaleh shel rotzal arug o rodif shenerag al yado kiddush kadosh yom arov v'kaim dekdashi b'sol p'nei Yisrael. Let's say it's two of us that are in the bunker, and I decide, you know what, I can't kill a baby. I can't. And I'm not putting anyone's life in danger more than myself. It's just me. So he said that there's no obligation to kill the baby in that case. And not only that, it's probably a Kiddush Hashem if you decide not to do it. And in fact, very interesting. Uchein Eilu, this is an important parenthesis. V'hayu mikim keilu b'mishpachti Hashem yinakim daman. This happened to my family, actually. With the people, shelo ratzu lahatzel nashim ayideh hachnakas yeled me Yisrael. That they were not willing to kill a child. They would rather die than to do something like that. Kadshu shem shemayim. That was a Kiddush Hashem. Aval zeh shekein asa. However, this person who did kill the child. In tzorchi yoz libo nokfo mikivin shev kedin asa kedin rahatzel nashos mi Yisrael. On the other hand, the man who did do this, no guilt on his conscience whatsoever. He saved many lives by doing it. So it's a very fascinating psak. This psak really is quite expansive in many ways. They said there are many other svarim that were written. One of them is there is a fellow, Dr. Eliyahu Ben Zimra, who wrote an article. It was published twice, once in Sinai, which is a Torah journal. It was also published in a Sefer Zikaron, what we like to call a festschrift. And in it, he discusses this, and he says, well, let's play this out. And he gives a certain examples that we might have. So he said, he gives a Colorado example. Right? Some people are climbing up Everest. They're climbing up a mountain, and they're attached by ropes, and someone slips. And there's three people hanging by the rope, and there's a limit to how much weight it can handle. Are you allowed to cut the guy on the bottom?
Depends.
Right? We're not all going to make it, right? The person on the bottom is additional weight. Yes?
Is it similar to the case where you're in the desert with the wine bottle of water, and you have an obligation to save your life because it's your water? And the other guy's
going to
die. I mean,
right, but it's different because one is active and one is passive. Right? In the case of the water, I'm just not giving you my water. I'm not killing you. I'm not saving you. In this case, I'm going to kill you.
By my action.
I'm going to cut the rope and you're going to fall to your death.
Smarter than the baby's in action.
Right. So he raises, he said, that would seem to be, right? The guy who's dangling is arguably a rodef. Right?
It's bad fortune to be the last right? one on the line.
Correct. Very bad fortune, right? Simply, a lifeboat. A lifeboat can only handle so many people, right? Another guy jumps on, the whole thing might go down. Are you allowed to kill that guy?
He was trying to get in the boat, or mm-hmm. he's already in the boat?
He's trying to get in the boat.
Not already in the boat.
But, right.
But you're not killing him. You're just not letting him on the boat.
Yeah.
Or let's say the only way to stop him getting on the boat, he said, the only way you're going to stop me is by killing me. Okay, have it your way.
He's trying to get in the boat because he's going to drown if he isn't.
So again, the Kol HaKosov L'Chaim, in this article written in this volume, says, Af ki oso atinok starts with our case. Ain't a road they flirt, so no call. There's no blaming the child for this. The person has no intention whatsoever. Still, he is killing somebody else. Someone's jumping on a boat where he's going to take the whole thing down. Both of these cases, where is a person who is nothing to blame them for, but in fact they are a rodef. There's three people. Well, I might say I don't want to kill the guy, but you know what? I'm taking someone else down with me. You know, you don't be a tzaddik on someone else's chashbon. L'fichach af hatino kaboche k'doma lo kol mi shemesakim ba'akifin as a rabbi mipaschul shoso agufanis v'nashed din rodev zero. He then goes one step beyond. L'fi oso gisha amisha oso korov revada regalos tachas racha tzinuyev. What if somebody, a soldier, is taken hostage. and they're going to interrogate him. And they know this person's going to give up information that's going to endanger people. Can you shoot him on his way out? Shoot your own soldier who's being taken captive.
Sounds like you can.
So you say, if Misha Osui Lekarov Levade, Legalis Tachas Lachatz Inuiv Obe Ezra Samim, either because of torture or because of they're going to give him some truth serum, whatever it is. As Tachas Habrechava Mesuto Shalom Latim Imo, this person's going to give over whatever information is going to endanger other people. They call Efsharis Latsilim Yad Kalgase Atsore Hadokim Acher Chevro Hadim Latim Nitan Lahagdiro Kerodef Metzias. You're allowed to kill your own soldier in that case. Right, so this idea, which comes out of our case, right? Obviously, it's a very heavy case, shall we say, to start with. But beyond that, there are many other cases where this rule could come out and be practical. A related question is actually from the Shut Mimamakim, from Rav Ashri. And the Rav Ashri is asked the question about what if, this is actually was a case, 1942, he gives the date, right? You have Chav Zayim Menachem of Tavshin Beis. Ishes Hazabra Begetto. A woman became pregnant in the ghetto. In Mutter Lo Lasos Hapolo Machtis, abort. Can she have an abortion? They said if any Jewish woman becomes pregnant, they'll kill her and the baby. So is she allowed to have an abortion in order to save herself? Anyone want to take a shot at that beforehand? You're saying based on everything we said here, right? If she gets killed, the baby goes, right? So therefore, so he basically says that. He says, Ba'alos tan ha'ish. And also remember, this is, as we said, probably a much easier case, you would think. Because following Shitas Rashi, that a fetus is not a human being. You're not actually killing a person, but rather this is an abortion, which is something less. And that's basically what he says, right? Ha'isha shimaksha l'oledes mechat k'nes havrad v'yeh motzino se'evarim, goes to the whole thing. V'nei she'chayeh kodmul chayev, that her, she, the mother takes precedence. L'fichu v'oberes shimaksha l'ered mutarachtoch, right? The fact that we can kill the child to save her life, that's what's going on here, right? This is the same case. V'izab n'yo d'don she'gam k'en hu bari v'hu dover she'shneim yamusu b'vada yishra hatir. So we said the two of them, he says that it should be allowed. Very interesting, Rav Chaim Kanievsky takes issue with this tshuva. And he thinks that this one's not as simple as we might have thought. So he writes, Halomer Isi B'shut Mei Mamakim. Then he explains what that is, if you're unfamiliar. She'eva B'zeh Roshon, Isha Nisabra B'Ghetto, Im Mutero Rasos HaPol, She'eva Gozu Tmeim Shkol Isha Nisabra Yarug Osav im Ubra. Okay, that's what they're writing. Uchusam Chabisham Eina Brura. Vine Roshitas Rashi Duva Rohave Nefesh. Okay, Mutra Hargo Bishop Bikuach Nefesh. If you tell me, according to Rashi, that a fetus does not have a status of a human being, okay, that's easy. Right? You do anything except for the big three, except for the three cardinal sins. Abortion would not be one of the cardinal sins because it's not murder, according to this. The Nira the Gamba Ofen Zem Mutra Hapira Uva Ura Moshitas Rambam. According to the Rambam, he said, I'm not so sure. The child isn't killing the mother. The Nazis are killing the mother. Unlike the case where the pregnancy itself is going to kill her. Right now, there is no direct correlation. There's an indirect correlation between this child and the mother's health.
The Nazis are
going to right.
Isn't there a chance that the mother might get out? They might get liberated.
Might get liberated, right? You know, again, if she carries small enough, well, who knows if they'll ever know? Right? So he said, wait a second. ulechora hayamakum lidmos davar zevadina da akum shavim lisrael tnu lano echad bichem v'yachdu l'echad behem v'mrad narod kuchem da havi prukta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish v'min she yahu echad m'chu yamisa k'shev ben bechri. He said, and in fact, the child's not a rodef, so just because the Nazis are saying either get rid of that fetus or we're going to kill you, that's very similar to our original case. And according to the opinion of Reish Lakish, if that fetus is not Chayav Misa, then you can't, then you don't give the child over. Meanwhile, she said, that's a machokes, right? Right? And the Rambam paskins, v'huva shnei ashitas for Rambam, because of shasta tzorach ha-hachmi, the rak mechuyah misa muta l'mosra. V'im kein, kam hachri atina b'rav hachi yamus, havi yichirtu aponi, aval, rav hachi mechuyah misa k'sheva ben bichri, kid didn't do anything wrong here, either purposely or otherwise, chim lo dam ira hasam yichtu ha-akum echa mehem, chashiv edu gorim v'asiv l'misas kulam, Agandalav Kumkovin, Avahacha Eina Uva Goring Lumisa Adrava, Higaremis. Who's at fault here? The mother or the child?
Nazis.
What? The Nazis? Nazis are clearly right. If we could kill the Nazis, we would go for that. But if that's not an option, who would be the next responsible party here?
The mother.
The mother. Right? So he's saying, why are we killing this child? So again, this case would sound like such a slam dunk. He says, wait. He says, if you tell me like Rashi, okay, I get it. But if you tell me the Rambam that we're going to give this fetus the status of a nefesh, of a full human being, then he says, I'm not so convinced anymore that she has a right to abort in this case. He said, "Yudches ulaha omer le'el shekol sha'uba moneh ratzala se'im afilu begrama chashiva kerodev." Now, the truth of the matter is, this sefer has absolutely nothing to do about the Holocaust. He just brought this in because he's dealing with a different question, and that is, let's say there is a woman who has a cancer and she needs to take treatment, and she can't take treatment if she's pregnant. Can you abort for that sake? With that, we'll go home. Thank you, Marsha. So, right?
Yes.
So he's arguing that same thing. Why the child isn't doing anything? So if you tell me the child is you know there is no child here, a fetus is not a child. Okay, I get it. Right? Obviously, right? We would allow you to amputate your leg to save your life. So to allow you to amputate your fetus. That would be fine. In general, for no reason whatsoever, we wouldn't allow you, but for a reason like this, we would allow you. But if you tell me, like, the opinion of the Rambam, that's a whole different ball game. That's a whole different ball of wax here. So he says that he thinks that this discussion that we're having within the, actually, would go into these other cases as well. If the
who's
mother
speaking here?
This is somebody who's writing over the works of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So therefore, I think that's it. So again, overall, obviously, as usual, this is a terrible case.
Right,
that's
still don't feel clear.
What? But in some, the story is that if we had to come a final decision, this final decision would be in the case of the crying baby, you have a right to do it, but not an obligation.
Right.
Right. That's right. To the extent that there are other people there besides you, right, it's one would say that perhaps it would be appropriate for you to save the other lives at the expense of the child. And regarding the question of a woman having an abortion in order to avoid the Nazis, even though that seems like a much easier case, in fact, that's not a very easy case either. Okay, we will leave it at that.
Thank you, Rabbi.
What?